Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. All right, it's January. We got the NCAA championship happening. We've got the Super Bowl, the playoffs. I'm going to be talking some NFL today. And if you go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use the code FOOTBALL30, you're going to get 30% off all NCAA and NFL stuff. Anything you want. Ties, tie clips, pins, pocket squares, money clips, all types of stuff. It's amazing. It's high quality. When you hold it in your hand, you feel the quality. Elevate your look. When you get up in the morning and you step outside, put on something fun, you know? Get your little Georgia Bulldog cufflinks or your NFL pin. Or what do you got here? We got some Clemson stuff, huh? Come on, we got all types of stuff going on. Over in the NFL, you can get some New York Jets stuff. Hey, I love the Jets, all right? Leave me alone. What am I going to do? Sam Darnold for life, baby. Anyway, go to cufflinks.com/DVR. The quality is exceptional. The service is extraordinary. You'll get great delivery. And guess what? You're going to love what you take home. You're going to love it so much. Cufflinks.com/DVR, baby. Let's do this show. Today is Monday, January 7th, 2019, and this is Daily DVR. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Monday, January 7th. It kind of feels like actually January 1st to me because the little man is back in school. And I'm back doing the show more regularly. We've got some news today. I'm going to talk, of course, about the Golden Globes at the end of the show. That's going to take up the largest portion of time. But I got a little bit of everything. There's a lot of stuff that I watched over the holidays. Even though I was doing shows, I kind of feel like I wasn't. Because it was, you know, we were doing our best list last week. That was over 3 hours of podcasts. Of Heath's best list, my best list, and then we had Gina, Eileen, Brett, Scott, Andy, DJ Tim, and Newbie. Yep. So 9 lists in all, over 3 hours of great material. And you know, I posted that stuff on our Facebook page over the weekend. Go ahead and take a look. Just look up Daily DVR, and if you have a list and you didn't get a chance, send it to us. Send that to dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at dvrpodcast, and go to the website, dvrpodcast.com. You can also become a patron. I talk about it every once in a while, but it, you know, it's a small group of people. We have a community, and it's really fantastic. So you go over to patreon.com/dvr. And I like to drop stuff over there. Of course, you do get 2 extra episodes of this podcast a week. That's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And those are a little different episodes. Sometimes we get a little more personal, or I'll just talk about something random. I think that's where I experiment with the roots of my obsession with podcasting and radio. And that's New York talk radio in the 70s and 80s. It's what I grew up on. A lot of free form stuff where people just get up and talk. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of The Best Show with Tom Sharpling. And Tom just, he just talks sometimes. It goes weird, different ways. And sometimes he expresses emotion or opinions that are strange, you know, but I love it. I absolutely love it. It's reality. It's like talking to someone at the bus stop or something, you know? And that's kind of what the Tuesday and Thursday, maybe that's what I'll start calling the Tuesday and Thursday shows, the bus stop. Because, man, my life, I took a lot of buses. Right up the street from where I live was a bus that went right into Manhattan from the town I grew up in, Jersey. And all the, I would see a lot of my friends' dads waiting there. And it took like, I mean, it was at Midtown in like 35 minutes. It was I remember taking that bus trip with my mom or my dad early in the morning, and just the smells, you know, the smells alone coming into New York. All right. Well, that's enough of my trip down memory lane. All right, so I was going to talk a little bit about the NFL. And this is what I wanted to talk about because this is a TV podcast. I'd like to hear what people think about announcers. Because I was struck this weekend just at how terrible Jason Witten and Booger McFarlane are. The other dude is okay, but they're so distracting to me. And yet I absolutely love Tony Romo. And then I found how much I'm now loving Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And people don't talk a lot about announcers on sports. I think it's a fun thing. I remember I listened to Al Michaels' biography, a couple other ones I listened to, and I've read a couple through the time. I loved reading Madden's books that were about not just football, but about broadcasting. And so broadcasters, it's kind of a lost art, you know? It's a thing that it's still, even with the internet and, you know, streaming and all that, all the changes that we've seen, we still have a play-by-play and a color guy. And it's like that for almost everything. Now, hockey, a lot of times they broadcast with one person. I know they did in North Carolina. I don't know if that's all over the country, but it's interesting to me. So send me your thoughts about these NFL or just in general broadcasters. What do you think about them? I'm not a fan. I also, like I said many times before, I never watch the pregame stuff. I don't even understand it anymore. Does anybody watch it? Do you get it? Is it just fun? Maybe it's just fun. You know, maybe I'm looking for something different. But I remember ESPN used to have some shows on Sunday morning, which they don't have anymore, that were people talking like hard X's and O's, like this is a type of play. When they say cover two, this is what they mean. When they say a zone, a soft zone, this is what they mean. When they say a weak side, this is what, and they would actually go through and say, okay, for example, this is what the Patriots are going to run today. That is the kind of stuff I yearn for when I'm watching football coverage, because I find that over the time I've watched football, which has been 35 something years, I need to know more about that. I like to know what it's, instead of saying blah, 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 just dropping, then I like to actually be taught. That's why I like to watch home improvement shows where they actually build something. Like I love New Yankee Workshop with Norm Abrams. That was like my favorite, maybe kind of DIY show of all time, because he would show you plans and then he would build every single step of it in front of you. And it would take 10 episodes to build like a chair. And I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And that's what I want with football. But I don't get that. But at least with some of the announcers, I get some fun stuff, you know? I remember at some point in the show, Troy Aikman said something and Joe Buck just replied. He's like, yippee-yay, Troy, or something. Like, just they're having a lot of fun in the booth. Tony Romo seems like he's having fun in the booth. And Booger and Jason Witten are just arguing. It's like argumentative, and I don't like, but then I start to kind of like it because it's a little bit interesting. And then I don't even know who that other dude is with them. He's good. He's a straight up guy, you know, but he just doesn't know what to do with himself between the two of them. And at some point I'm just waiting for him to be like, well, you guys just shut up already. Like, seriously, do they need both of them? Both of them are terrible. Get rid of both of them. There's so many other better guys and gals out there. Give somebody else a shot. Why did they put Jason Witten in there? Just because he was with Tony Romo? You think because Tony Romo passed him the ball that he's a good announcer like Tony Romo? I don't know. I don't get it. All right. That's my digression into football announcing. And tomorrow on the Patreon pod, I'm going to go over our pick'ems that we did on Facebook. And we're going to do some more picks this weekend. And I'm going to run I'm going to give away a Cufflinks prize on our Facebook page. And that's a lot of the Patreon peeps that are over there. So it's an encouragement to get some more people involved. I'm going to run the contest I was going to do announced today. I'm going to run it over on the Patreon and I'm going to do an NFL contest for the playoffs. And, if people get the same picks, all right, then, we'll, we'll pick it out of a hat. But it'll be fun to do it. All right, I got some TV stuff to talk about. Tonight premieres The Bachelor with Colton. He was actually an NFL player, so that's a good transition. But he is the strangest, most robotic. I don't know. This is going to be very weird. I know a lot of people listening don't watch The Bachelor. I know some do. I love it. I love The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I know that it's weird and it's just a bunch of weird Instagram people, but it's fun for me. I enjoy it and I'm definitely going to watch it. I was trying to convince DJ Tim Hines to watch it and then we could cover it afterwards, but I don't think it's going to happen. But that is the big, actually, that's pretty much the big premiere tonight. We are getting into the winter premiere, and that's really going to happen over the next week, 2-3 weeks. But there's a lot of good stuff coming back. And one of those things that are coming back is True Detective. And HBO launched a very cool little trailer during football last night that showed not only a lot of footage from True Detective, but a lot of footage from Game of Thrones, a lot of footage from some other HBO shows that are coming out over the next year or so. And mostly people were talking about the Game of Thrones stuff. And I have to say that I was pretty excited. I mean, Brett, you might not want to watch this trail. I'm not, you know, don't listen if you don't want to hear, but this was actually the only thing that I had already been spoiled on. So I was not upset about it. And it was just basically very quickly, here we go, the spoiler, Daenerys arriving at Winterfell and Sansa saying, I cede the castle to you, my lord. And then there's a lot of now question, who was she talking to? Was it Jon? Was it Daenerys? My prediction, I'm going to make a quick prediction here because I know Granddaddy James put this on our Facebook page. Thank you, brother. That I think they skip ahead. That's what I think. I think they skip ahead. Not to steal a line from Bubba, but I think they skip ahead. And I think that we're going to find that Jon and Daenerys are already married. And we're not going to go through a whole big wedding thing and all that kind of thing. I think that they're married. And when she says it, she's saying it to kind of like both of them. And that Daenerys, that they've kind of worked out like a power sharing type thing. You know, now that I'm into reading listening to the Fire and Blood thing, I could see the way that kind of Dorne was a part of the Seven Kingdoms, but a separate from it for very long periods of time. I could see Daenerys kind of saying to Jon, like, Winterfell will always be Stark. It will always be yours, you know? And so it's she's saying that to Jon, but then she's also kind of saying that they are together, ruling now together, you know, that Jon is, they're kind of king and queen. Like, I think that's what they, because I think that she's got to drop that, right? Or is that going to be a big thing coming into it? I don't know. I got to rewatch because I come up with these theories and then I'm like, oh man, I feel like a noob again because I fall out of line with Game of Thrones. But I just got to, I don't know, from the look of it, maybe it was the look of it or the way that they acted together. And I'm looking at the picture as I'm talking right now, but it just seemed to me that this was farther ahead and the way Sansa looked. So I think that they jump ahead a bit and we're going to get past all that stuff and they're married, they're together. And then we just have to move into kind of like what happens next, you know, but maybe that's just because that's what I want. Because I just don't know how much of the palace intrigue stuff is gonna happen at this point. But then it has to with all the Tyrion thing that happened at the end, you know, with him kind of being worried about it, or is he in love with her? But you know, I don't know. I think that might play out on a larger scale not like we've been seeing, like in the big decisions that are going to be made in the coming battle. Because again, there's only so many episodes. I just can't see them spending half the season with, like, you know, Sansa scheming against Daenerys in the back. I just don't see that happening. I just think that it's more so going to be about a decision she makes based on that, you know? But what do I know? All right. They also had some Watchmen footage, and that was awesome. Wow. That is what I was, I have to tell you, that's what I was really excited for. And you know, A-Hustler and I will be covering the Watchmen when it comes to HBO. I'm not sure yet whether we're going to do it as part of Daily DVR or whether we're going to spin it off to another pod. I already have a Twitter and all that for it, but I already have a Twitter for it. But I don't know. And there was a new show called Euphoria, which looked really interesting. Some stuff from a new season of Big Little Lies, Barry, Succession, Veep, Divorce, which I have not watched. And then Chernobyl looked really cool. That looked really cool. HBO miniseries. So I think it'll be cool. I liked all the stuff that I saw. It wasn't too spoilery too. There were a couple shots of dragons in the Game of Thrones trailer, which I believe were new as well. And particularly one of them where the it looked more reddish. It was so quick. Looked incredible. And the first shot with the Night King, that looked cool too. So I'm getting hyped, man. I mean, look, January, February, March, April, that's not that long. You know, imagine if this was August. I mean, imagine if this was like May and it was premiering in, it was the fall premiere. You know, that's what we have now is what many of us older peeps grew up with, where there was no new television over the summer, you know, where it was like, oh no, what's coming in the fall? Because now all they're going to do is repeat stuff for 3 months and you have to do something like go outside and play. Oh my God, can you imagine that? Next up is a nice trailer that just premiered for FX's Fosse Verdon. And this is premiering in April on FX. And this was really interesting to me. I had heard a little bit about this. It stars Michelle Williams and my man, former World of Video delivery man, Sam Rockwell. And I at first thought that this was one of the Versus things that Ryan Murphy did, right? Because this is a famous partnership between the dancer and the choreographer, director, Bob Fosse, and filmmaker. And I thought that this was like another Ryan Murphy thing for, you know, there it's going to be kind of outrageous and whatever. And then I look at the trailer and I see who's behind it. And actually, it is co-executive produced by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and the director, Thomas Kail, is a theater and film director, but he's most well known for In the Heights and Hamilton, which were Lin-Manuel Miranda's productions. So this is something new with FX. Is this going to be start of a new series? This is what FX loves to do. So I'm going to check this out. You know, I'm not a huge Michelle Williams fan. I find her to be sometimes slightly wooden. She has had some great performances, and from looking at this trailer, this is going to be one of them, and I find this to be really interesting. Mostly because I think it marks kind of a new partnership, and it's something that we may see more of, maybe more Broadway stories told on FX in miniseries fashion. I think that could be really cool, because let me tell you, there's a lot of crazy stories on these Broadway shows. I mean, you're doing like, what, 13 performances a week over the period of years in New York City in a highly creative and stressful environment. That could be pretty cool. A pretty cool story came out that the new movie Glass, which is the third in the, I guess, M. Night Shyamalan superhero trilogy, that this movie is going to actually contain cut footage from the first movie, Unbreakable. that is about Bruce Willis and his son, because I guess his son plays a part in this new movie. And I think that that is super cool. And I just want to bring it up. It reminds me of when Steven Soderbergh did The Limey, and he used pieces of Ken Loach's movie Poor Cow with Terrence Stamp when they did the flashbacks. And they were totally out of context, didn't have anything to do with the actual movie. He wasn't actually supposed to be the same guy, really. And over time, people have kind of created a story that it was written as a sequel, but it really wasn't. It was just, they're kind of taken out of context, and Soderbergh made it almost appear, instead of trying to age him down or whatever, those flashback scenes are more ethereal and have more to do with the feeling of the scenes and even the way they're shot, right, than the content. But I think that this, for film-wise, I think it is super cool for a director to use cut footage, like extra footage, so they decided to not use a plot line in Unbreakable. And then, you know, whatever, 10 years later, or however long it was ago that Unbreakable came out, they actually use that and he can incorporate it into a new movie. And I mean, I think, it was 2000, so it's 18 years later. I think that is really, really cool. It makes me want to see this movie. And you know what? I'm actually really looking forward to it. I don't know if I'm going to go to the theater, but when it comes on to the Blu-ray, I'm going to see this new movie, Glass. I think it looks kind of fun. And I'm all for creating new superheroes and new stories like these, because it's fun, you know? You get a kind of a new generation. Who knows? Maybe when we're 100, there'll be like Unbreakable, the 5th remake. All right, last little piece of news here is that something I was a little disappointed in at first, I have to be honest, because it's something I've been talking, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Star Wars and Disney Plus and this new service that's coming out. And Bob Iger did an interview, and he was saying that they're not going to make big, like kind of tentpole type films for the streaming service, that all of the films that they make for the streaming service are not going to be like, they're not going to make a new Avengers movie. They're not going to make a new star. He said Star Wars, but I think it goes across the board. You know, they're not going to make a new Star Wars movie for it. And I think that's a little bit disappointing, but this is what's weird. Is he says, we wouldn't make a Star Wars movie for this platform. When everybody goes out on the weekend and you have a movie that opens up to a $200 million, there's a buzz that creates that enhances value. We like that. And eventually the movies we're making are going to end up on the service, but they're not going to start there. So instead they're going to make smaller movies, but they still have big stars. They're just going to have a smaller budget. So I don't know, is this, maybe this is just like an example of me reading a couple articles based on a quote that doesn't really mean a lot. And it's just a way for people to talk more about Star Wars, and I fall victim to it and do it too on the podcast live. But I think that this is that stuff like this, I think everything can change is what I think. And I think that Bob Iger should, you know, I mean, I think he's got it's about investors and all that kind of stuff. I initially thought this and I saw it and I said, oh no, they're not going to make, and then I thought to myself, come on, everybody goes back on everything. Are you kidding me? Look, if there's a demand for a Solo 2, they're not going to put $300 million into that. Come on, no way. But maybe they make it as a 4-part series on the streaming service, and it comes out to be 2 hours and 15 minutes, which is the exact length of a movie. You know what I mean? So I don't know. What does it really matter? But I just thought that I would mention that because I love Star Wars. Star Wars, baby. All right. let's see. There was, what else did I want to mention? Oh, a couple of things that I, like I said, a little hodgepodgey today. Just to say with True Detective and that HBO trailer, just to go back to that, I do want to remind you, we will be covering True Detective on this show next week, starting hopefully on Wednesdays that we'll be doing that. And that'll probably be what the show is. So for as long as True Detective's on, Wednesday's show is probably just going to be True Detective. Maybe sneak a little bit of news here and there, but mostly we're going to be covering True Detective. So if you're listening to this show, start watching True Detective. And guess what? It's going to be awesome. Mahershala Ali, it's going to be fantastic. You know, I mean, look, you got great directors, right? I mean, Pizzolatto's back on his game. Come on, people. Watch it with us. All right. I watched the last season of House of Cards. This is going to be a very quick review. Don't even waste your time. I rarely am negative. I'm not rare. I mean, I can be negative, but I try not to mention something knowing that I'm just going to say it's terrible. I want to try to have redeeming qualities to why I even talk about something, right? Like if something's really bad, I'll just say, oh, I didn't like that, you know? Or unless I feel there's a purpose to it, or we can all gain something from thinking or listening to me yap about it. And I'm not going to yap much about House of Cards. All I'm going to say is they had some ideas, they tried them out, and it makes no sense. It does not make any sense. They attempted with the last episode to make a metaphor because it makes no sense. And I figured that out about a half an hour into the show. Because why? Because the rest of it makes no sense. There's no repercussions. Claire is president, and that's not a spoiler. Everybody knows that. Kevin Spacey's not on the show anymore. He died. And the rest of the episodes, I don't even know what happens. There's people show up and they try to take her down and she tries to take them down. And it's, you know, I mean, there's people and they act and stuff happens and it's in Washington. That's about all I have to say, literally. And I have to talk. I always have something to say. It's very, very bad. I don't know why I watched it. I don't know how much I even paid attention while it was on in the background because things would happen. I'll give you an example. Okay. At one point, one of the major plots of the whole season is that she hides from the public for like over a month. This is resolved by her making a confession or announcement or something. Okay. And then what she did as a result of that and what was going on in the country is barely mentioned again and makes virtually no sense. Maybe I didn't explain that right, because I'm trying not to spoil, because I know some people are still going to watch it, but I'm just trying to say is, in the world where House of Cards, where they first season came out pretty strong, were trying to be a drama, then pretty much realized it was camp and Kevin Spacey really went for it. Though some people, including Robin Wright, was trying a little too hard to be serious in the show and not camping it up enough, or really couldn't achieve the camp, which she's not really too good at, which is another problem with the show, tonally speaking, is that it pretty much was reliant on Kevin Spacey being ridiculous. And Robin Wright just isn't ridiculous. That's just not the kind of actress she is. She just doesn't have that range, I guess, or she didn't want it. That's not who her character was in the show. She was the straight man, you know? So for her, straight woman, for her to be straight person, for her to be the lead on the show, she's just like devoid of any charisma. That was the character. And I don't know. I haven't seen her in too much stuff like The Princess Bride, some other things. She's had a career of an actress. She hasn't not always been like my favorite actress. I've always felt that she was rather wooden. You know, she doesn't really give me much. You know, and Kevin Spacey was so crazy. And the only other guy they have on the show trying to balance it this season is Doug. And Doug's worse. He's more wooden than her. He's not wooden. He's like cement. So it's like watching cement go against brick or wood or whatever metaphor I'm using. But it's just, oh man, is it bad. I mean, Netflix had to make it to complete the series, and kudos to them, because they have to be able to say the entire series of House of Cards. But if this is what you had going into this season, they could, with all the money they had and all the talented actors and actresses on this show and the production they put on and how good it looks, man, actually this season, though, you could tell it was a lot of, like, everything was like the same interiors, but it still is a good production. They could have done something really fun, you know, something really fun and just gone nuts. But they just kind of tried to make it like, it seemed like a weird hybrid of House of Cards and not a good one. And they should have just, and the last episode was, it's laughable. It's honestly, it's embarrassing. I think that the people involved, they tried. I see what they were trying to do. Okay, that's kind of admirable. It's a metaphor. It's a dream. And they try something, but it just doesn't work. And maybe I'm misinterpreting it because I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. And it's a lot of people under pressure and they just had to complete something for Netflix. There's probably going to be someday a documentary made about the filming of the last season of House of Cards. They were either having a great time or they were just going to work. Because it is weird. It's very weird. All right. One more thing before I get to the Golden Globes. I picked up on, I started watching Handmaid's Tale again with my wife, and we're on episode 7 now. So when that is finished, I want to try to maybe Gina will talk to me about the Handmaid's Tale on Daily DVR. That would be fun. So let's see. We could maybe do that. I would like that a lot. I'd like to talk about this season. Oh, it's tough. And one more thing, Travelers. I am now on season 2, episode 5, and it really picked up. I was a little off put. I think the second episode of season 2 spent so much time on the characters' like human now lives. I didn't really understand. I thought, oh, is this what this season's going to be? But I see they were using that as a basis to interject more of the sci-fi stuff. And I like Travelers. It's a fun show. I just hope that's where it goes. I want more sci-fi. I like this stuff about their lives, okay? I want to know about the characters, but I don't need so much of that. I want to hear people talk about flux capacitors, and I want to see some weird time stuff. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm tuning in for. If I, you know what I mean? If I wanted the family drama, I go back and watch Parenthood or This Is Us or something, right? That's what I'm saying. I want to get the good stuff in it. You know, it's good to have the other thing too, but I like the you know, you got the characters are always, that's why I liked, I'm feeling very good about Travelers right now, because I felt like it was actually good. Instead of, they did just it, like it just got to the point where I was like, okay, enough about the mom and the dad, and you know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't serve the wider plot of why they're traveling through time, then then they shouldn't care about it. You know, like they're kind of like on a mission here, you know? So I like the way they showed that and then they get back into it. All right, let's take a break. As you know, today's Daily DVR is sponsored by Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order all the time, no minimum. Also, January, all January long, it's NFL and NCAA. Use code FOOTBALL30 to get 30% off all the fantastic items. Over 58 brands on cufflinks.com. And when you take a look at the cufflinks, tie bars, stud sets, ties, men's bracelets, pocket squares, socks, lapel pins, messenger bags and totes, money clips, and so much more, all emblazoned with your favorite NCAA or NFL team, you're going to want to order that stuff, and this is the time to do it. Who says you can't geek out or, you know, stand out, stand up for your team? Because you can do it, and cufflinks.com can help you. So go to cufflinks.com/DVR and check out their amazing array of products. And that's not all. Their other 58 brands, including Hook and Albert, Ox and Bull, and of course, their own Cufflinks brand. You got to check it all out. They've been our sponsor here. They're continuing to be the sponsor. We love working with them. It's a family-owned company, and they're great people. So go to cufflinks.com/DVR. And remember, the contest I'm going to do, our NFL Pick'em for this divisional playoffs coming up this weekend, the winner is going to be entered into a drawing to win one of four cufflinks.com prizes that I'm going to put up on the Facebook page. So go search Daily DVR, go over to Facebook, join up with us. You can join, anybody can join. You just have to request it. I do keep it closed because I don't want all the spam and, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? I like to say, okay, it's a real human being and I approve, and they come in and guess what? You're in, and guess what? You can win from cufflinks.com/DVR. So check it out over on Facebook, Daily DVR. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR, use code football30 or use code DVR20. Now back to the show. All right. Thank you, cufflinks.com. Let's talk about the Golden Globes. You know, the first thing before we start talking about the Golden Globes, I think it's worth saying what they are. Okay? The Golden Globes is a television event put on by the Hollywood Foreign Correspondents Association, where they give awards to both TV and film. There are about 70 to 100 people. This is the information that I've gathered from a couple of articles I read. Hollywood Reporter, Feinberg, had a little podcast about it. You know, some research I've done. There's about 70 people, okay? They're known individually by the studios, production companies, actors, directors, all that kind of people. They know who they are. They are individually lobbied for their vote. This is not like the Academy of the Oscars, where thousands of actual people who work in the industry, producers, actors, directors, writers, you know, I don't know if some of the union people are in there, but they are, you know, gaffers. It can be like worker people, but mostly in the Academy, it is more of the other side of the camera people, or the people who are have more control rather than the little people. Okay. So I'm not going to pretend, but there are a lot of people in the Academy. Okay. This is a lot different. This is 70 people, 80 people. Mostly they are foreign people who write about Hollywood. Okay. And it's highly susceptible to people just lobbying them, and all of a sudden Bohemian Rhapsody wins best drama, you know? So to me, I don't care who wins the Golden Globes. It doesn't matter. It's you can get a little bit when it comes to the Emmys and the Oscars and the SAGs and stuff like that, or even like the producers, the PGAs. These are actually voted upon critics polls, you know, the Television Critics Association. You know who's actually voting, right? So it matters. And you can say with the Oscars, wow, okay, that is how a lot of people in Hollywood think. With the Emmys, you can say, wow, okay, that is how a lot of people in Hollywood think. With this, you can say, wow, that's how 70 strange people that write about Hollywood and are probably the ones doing these weird clips you see on YouTube where they're asking strange questions of people. Like, that's who is in this, you know? So it's not like, it's important to remember that, you know, and it's really a television event. That is what it is. It's put on a long time ago. They made a deal. And I think it was, what did it start on NBC? And they said, let's get this on TV. People are going to watch it. And that's why it exists. Okay. It exists to be on television. Right. So I do not care who wins. It doesn't upset me. I like to see it's the inclusion factor. That's why I like that was kind of the theme of the night, right? Of all the presenters and winners was inclusion, right? And we're going through a time in our country and our world right now where we have differing opinions on, you know, politically speaking, on inclusion and people being different and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, you know where I fall on this line here. I'm all about it, okay? Because diversity for me is just more interesting. It's what I like. It's the world I grew up in. It's who I am. I just like different people of all different stripes. And I'm not just talking I just, you know, weird people. I just interested in stuff, right? I mean, this is who I am. So I like it, that point of view, this inclusion. And it's just so strange. The reason I mention it is because it's a show about, you know, a political inclusion and people of different races, persuasions, ethnicities, experiences, socioeconomic levels, what have you, disabilities, what have you, anything, right? It's voted upon by 70 people who nobody knows how they really are part of this organization or why. And it's totally, all the awards are bought and sold, but it's a nice thing to see on TV. And mostly for me, it gives people the opportunity to be exposed to things, right, that they didn't know were there. So that is cool. And we saw that especially with in the television realm. I thought that there was some TV stuff there that people that won awards that people, oh, what's that? Oh, maybe I'll go watch it now. You know, that's interesting. That's kind of cool. I'll go check it out, you know? So that's what I like about it mostly. So that's what I have to say about kind of the tone of inclusion and the political vibe, because everybody always talks about that. Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg, not great, not great. Weird. Sandra Oh seemed a little off. Her type of humor that she, especially that, and she was doing the same kind of thing that she did in Killing Eve, where it's a little subtle. I don't know if it came off as well, except for the masturbation line. That was very funny when she introduced the cast of like, This Is Us. And she said, and later you will masturbate. And it was just totally off color and blue. And I thought it just worked. And Andy Samberg was actually very toned down. It was a little strange. They were not great, but they weren't bad. They weren't bad. I thought the Carol Burnett thing was great. I grew up as a big Carol Burnett fan. I don't know if many of you did. My mom idolized Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball. And I think she felt like she was them in many ways. She's a very funny woman. And I loved the whole thing, seeing all the clips, and her speech was funny and it was heartwarming. And it reminded me of why I even watch these things, is because I love TV and I love film. And that's the part of these things I like, when they kind of really went, you know, when Jeff Bridges came up. I mean, yes, he spoke for 30 minutes, but why not? Who cares? You know what I mean? You fast forward through it a little bit. It's like, you understand that when they get up there, they're looking out at the crowd and they're seeing all these people they worked with for his whole life. So it's fun. And it's almost like, see, that's the Golden Globes. It was always like the Oscars was the big da-dum, the Oscars. And everybody got drunk at the Golden Globes and said, hey, we're actors. We all started in theater. We're all freaks. So I kind of like that this show had that, again, that weird Golden Globes vibe. I very much enjoyed this show. I wasn't even looking forward to watching it. And usually I love watching the award shows, but I was kind of burnt out. I didn't even feel like watching any TV. I say, honey, let's just chat a little bit. I put together a model. You do what you think. I don't need to watch no television. Can you believe it, guys? I said I didn't want to watch TV. Yes, but we watched it and it was a lot of fun. And it made, like, again, it made me realize why I watch these shows. I'm always arguing with A-Dash Hustler. He's like, ah, such a waste of time, man. Who cares? I was like, but you know what? These are my people. You know, it's fun. And speaking of that, Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph. First of all, Amy Poehler, I just love her. She's amazing. Oh, I mean, come on. She's so funny. She's just, I can't say anything more about, I'm like starstruck just thinking about how much I love Amy Poehler. I have a big, huge man crush on Amy Poehler. Man crush. I'm trying to be nice. My wife said she was going to listen to the show. So I all of a sudden thought of that. When I thought about it, I was like, wow, I'm really like falling in love with Amy Poehler on the show. And now I'm about to talk with Maya Rudolph, who I have a bigger, it's not a man crush, it's a crush, okay? I have a bigger crush on Maya Rudolph, who's like amazing. The best couple in Hollywood, Maya Rudolph and Paul Thomas Anderson. How are they married? There's just so much talent. It must be like, I if you sit down and talk to them, could you imagine having dinner with those two? Like, you'd be like, oh my God. Anyway, they were hilarious. And Maya Rudolph was, how committed she was to the bit when she asked Amy Poehler to marry her, that she just kept on doing the shaking, like her body kept on shaking. I have to stop. All right. Christian Bale, thank you to Satan for inspiration on Vice. That was seriously hilarious. And he used his real accent. Did you notice that? A couple of people too coming up there and just all of a sudden you're like, oh, they're really talking like themselves. I enjoyed this whole thing. Of course, it took forever for people to get up to the stage. I don't know why. And some people's speeches just went on and on. But that's what this show is. You just fast forward through it. See, I like this because everybody on Twitter is slamming this show. And it's just because time moves so quickly. 10 years ago, nobody wanted to watch the Golden Globes. And it was like a, you know, like I'm saying, it's the thing where people got drunk. They were acted silly. The whole thing is silly. When Rob Stark won his award, did you see how he was just like, kind of like, oh, I won. Like, who cares? I mean, this is utterly meaningless. But when you're Jeff Bridges and you get a chance to stand, and you're 70 something years old and you get a chance to stand on stage and you look out and you see 50, 60, 70, 80 people that you've worked with and they're giving you an award, you feel like, what? Okay, fine. I'm just going to talk about my entire career. Let's give them a show. And these people are in show business. That's what they do. You put a mic in front of them, they give you a show. That's who they are, you know? So I thought that this was a lot of fun. Brett's wife won. I couldn't believe it. She won the award. That was fantastic. Congratulations to Brett and his wife. I would say that Rachel Brosnahan reminds me of like Evan Rachel Wood's more approachable cousin, right? Like they both look so similar to me. And I think Evan Rachel Wood has that, like, she's like so strong and like, she just seems like the wind is blowing through her hair at all times. You know, she's so put together. And then Rachel Brosnahan looks just like her. They're both gorgeous, but she seems so cool. Like you want to talk to her, you know, like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. How are you doing? And then you just like, if you saw across from her, you'd be like, my God, she's absolutely gorgeous. She's captivating. And Evan Rachel Wood, they're like some kind of weird cut. I don't know. My wife and I spent about 10 minutes talking about this last night. Like the dynamics, there's got to be a movie with the both of them together, because I thought that Evan Rachel Wood was in House of Cards for like half the season. And then I found out it wasn't her. I was like, what? I thought that was Evan Rachel Wood. Nope, it wasn't. So I don't know what to tell you, but that's the impression that I get, that there should be a movie where Evan Rachel Wood, maybe it's like a romantic comedy, and Evan Rachel Wood and Rachel Brosnahan, they're twin sisters, or maybe they're cousins, And Rachel works, she stayed in the small town, and then Evan Rachel Wood went away and became this huge star or this like fashion designer or something. And then she comes back to the town and they're like, you know, they're, maybe she has to take care of their ill grandma or something. And then they kind, it's like kind of the plot of Playing House, but different. And maybe you could throw in some fun characters that are, that live in the neighborhood or something. I don't know. I'm really getting into this now. This could be a good thing. Anyway, all right, let's get to the winners. I didn't even talk about who won. Let's talk about who won and what does it matter? Who cares? Bohemian Rhapsody won Best Drama. I mean, come on. Black Panther, Black Klansman. The only two of these that are going to be in the Academy Awards are If Beale Street Could Talk and A Star Is Born. That's probably the only ones that actually deserve that category. Not that Bohemian Rhapsody is bad. I know it was on some people's lists, but I'm saying, was it Best Picture? Do you think it's up there with that kind of thing? Maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't see it. I don't think Black Panther and Black Klansman are. Black Panther should not be nominated for Best Picture. That was a great movie. I had so much fun watching it. I also had a lot of fun watching Upgrade, but I don't think Upgrade should be Best Picture. Mandy should be, though. Mandy should be Best Picture. Upgrade, it couldn't be Best Picture because it's too genre-specific. And the acting is not as good, but Mandy is off the chain. So, all right. Green Book won. I know there's a big controversy about this movie, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it. But it was interesting. Let's see. Rami Malek won. His speech was fun. Man, he talks so weird. Yeah, he's like looking into his eyes. Man, he's something else, that dude. What a look. Glenn Close gave a stirring speech when she won. And I've heard The Wife is fantastic. So that's cool. Let's see. Christian Bale's speech I already talked about. Christian Bale, that was fantastic. I want to rewatch it. I have to just say it again. When he just casually said, he was like, "Oh, it was great to work with everybody. I want to thank Satan for inspiration." He just kept on going, and everybody, it's like it took like 10 seconds for everyone to notice what he just said. And then there just was like kind of an up, like people started laughing and it was so delayed. Maybe it was only like 2 seconds, but I just thought that I just kept on laughing. And my wife it wasn't even the political part of it. It was just the way he said it. And it was just so, of course, who else would you get inspiration from to play that part? That was hilarious. Olivia Colman, many people were happy that she won. She's a great actress. She's been in so many BBC and so much stuff. When they did Broadchurch, they replaced her, I guess. But they kept, what's his name? Tennant, I think. But I don't know if that was really about that. But I think it was a different production company and everything that did it. Best act, Mahershala Ali won for Green Book. And that's just like everybody saying, go watch True Detective. Wow. It's so interesting. It really is interesting. I feel like the actors and actresses give more of a real speech at the Golden Globes. It's like again, speak in their true voice. They're more with, I feel there's less pretense there. It's just more of a relaxed environment. And he is really interested. The way he speaks naturally is very interesting. It's just kind of captivating. He kind of just like, it's like stream of consciousness. Regina King won for If Beale Street Could Talk. They love, the Golden Globes love Regina King, and so do I. Regina King, she is amazing. Another one. What am I going to do with Regina King, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph? And I'm watching the Golden Globes with my wife. I say, this is too many women that I'm falling in love with my wife in the room. Let's see. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated. That's good. People love that movie. I'm so glad it's doing well. That's awesome. Roma won and Quran won Best Director. You know, this is nice stuff. It's good that when I look at the things that are nominated, I mean, the only thing is the thing in film that I think in television, there's a little bit better representation of smaller things like that probably, you know, a lot of people don't watch, like Barry and Kidding, you know, and I'm not a huge fan, like Mrs. Maisel, like The Americans, right? Even like Outlander, Pose. I think that it's Ozark. I think it's good that these shows, you know, is Ozark super popular? I mean, I don't know, right? Bodyguard, right? That's great that he won. I think we think Bodyguard is popular, right? But in the outside world, I don't think that that's huge. That, you know, it's not like people are like, oh, Big Bang Theory and Bodyguard. No. So it's good that they're getting, I think that the Golden Globes does a better job of representation in TV. So when you see that Sandra Oh wins for Killing Eve, even the Kominsky Method winning musical or comedy, who cares? I mean, whatever. But The Good Place got nominated and they said The Good Place and they showed it, a clip of it. That's good. Some people say, oh, that's a good show, right? Again, Michael Douglas wins, but then Donald Glover, Bill Hader, Jim Carrey get nominated. And yes, the Golden Globes does favor the big stars, right? And they made some jokes about that. But that's okay. Kristen Bell got nominated for The Good Place. That's awesome, right? Alison Brie got nominated for Glow. The Alienist got a lot of play here. I think that's awesome. So it didn't win. The Assassination of Gianni Versace won. And my wife and I were like, oh, we got to watch that. So we're going to watch it. A Very English Scandal was nominated and Ben Whishaw won. And he was fantastic in that. I loved that. That was almost on my top 10 list. It was probably it would have been in my top 20. Hugh Grant should have won for that. That was awesome. Kiernan Culkin got nominated for Succession. Henry Winkler got nominated. So again, I don't care who wins. It doesn't matter, right? It was fun. It was good that Patricia Arquette won for Escape at Dannemora. That was on Heath Solo's list, and Ben Stiller got to stand up on national television and tell everybody that he directed every episode of that. That's very cool. So for me, it's all about that when it comes to these awards. You celebrate it. It's fun. And we got to cap it off with a little Bill Murray at the end, but I was disappointed. I wanted Bill Murray to do more. I wanted more Bill Murray. We didn't get enough. It was a fun show. That's all I have to say. And that's all I got for the show today. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I love to watch these shows. I like, you know, I'm a little bit more, I think I'm a little bit more TV. But then I realized this year that I've seen a lot of films. And hopefully before the Academy Awards, I'm going to see a lot more. And I'll talk about them on the show. Because I like to try to, last year I saw every Best Picture nominee, and I want to try to do that again this year, and I'm going to watch A Star Is Born. It's going to be tough on me, I'll admit it, but I'm going to watch it. I don't know when it comes out, or I hope it comes out before the Academy Awards. Like I said, I always hate it when they release a film after the Oscars to try to get that Oscars bump. It can get the bump anyway. It's called marketing these days. Nobody knows when something comes out anymore. They just go, oh, look, that's out. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, so it doesn't release everything before the Oscars. And then you'll get people like me and on Twitter who'll create a game, watch all of them and rank them. Let's do, you know, then this way, because a lot of times by the time it gets to this point, it's in second run theater or it's in between. So that's what I mean. So I'm just thinking of something like A Star Is Born. Is it still in theaters even? I don't know. But if it's available before the Oscars, I will begrudgingly watch it. I don't know how I'm going to do with it. I'm a little worried. I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan. I have to admit. I mean, she's very talented, but that type of singing is not for me. I can't do all that. You know, I was like Nick Drake, Elliot Smith. You know, I like the kind, you know, the English guys who mumble a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like Stone Roses or something, you know. He's a little theatrical, right? That Stone Roses, you could see Lady Gaga jumping on a Stone Roses track, maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Not with that squire kind of, maybe that little like country that he always did. Anyway, that's a digression. Thank you very much for listening. This was a fun show. I covered a lot. I hope you liked it. I'm going to be back on Wednesday, and I think am I recording with Justin? Oh no, I think Justin and I are recording Thursday for a Friday release. So that's going to be fun. We'll keep on missing each other, but we're going to get together. And who knows what I have in store for you on Wednesday. Something fun. Check the Facebook page. Check the Facebook page. And I'm going to post the contest. We're going to pick the NFL teams this weekend for our cufflinks.com prize, baby. Peace out.